But yeah, she was really cool. So congratulations to her. Jesse's back.
Okay.
So there was something that I said I wanted to ask you, and you may be the one person to defend me on this situation. I just came back from vacation at a family reunion in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It was ungodly hot. It was anywhere between 93 and 98 the entire weekend in North Carolina on the East Coast. So you already know the vibes on that one. It's crazy. But I have traditionally said, I love California. I love Sacramento. I ain't going nowhere. I'm the one to be like, hey, it's too cold out here. It's July. Let's get this thing up to 101. This is how it's supposed to be, right? So I love my Sacramento summers. But I have routinely said, I'll take East Coast humidity summer over West Coast, I'm just getting fried by the sun. You not only are from the East Coast, not only have spent time in Sacramento, but you went to school in Scottsdale, Arizona, or Tempe, excuse me, Tempe, Arizona, or Arizona State. So do you agree with me that I'll take the East Coast humidity in that summer as opposed to the dry heat out here?
Okay, real quick, though, disclaimer. Arizona's heat has nothing to do with our heat over here.
It's the same.
It's
no,
the same.
No, Arizona's like,
it's a dry heat, bro. You have a delta breeze. That's the only thing that's different.
No, I see it gets like 110 in Arizona, stuff like that.
It gets 110 here.
No. When's the last time we got 110 here?
Now, last summer. I'll give you that, all right? It's been a cool summer this year.
Yeah. Now, I did say this, too, before you answer. I said, look, it was ridiculous. It got to 98. When I was out in North Carolina, the humidity, I was literally just sweating.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even doing that. I was sitting there and just pouring sweat like Patrick Ewing, right? Like that's I get it. And my thing is 98 to 100 anywhere is going to be hot. I'm not saying it's cooler over there. I'm saying, here's my thing, because you could have overcast days on the East Coast. And while it's hot, the sun isn't beating down on you. Out here, there ain't no overcast days. Ain't no overcast days.
Go stand under a tree.
Under a tree?
You live in the city of trees. You need some shade. Go stand in the shade. It's not like the humidity is gross. You're all sticky and stuff like that. Sweaty.
When was the last time you went and stood in the shade?
I don't need to, brother. I work inside. No, but like the whole Arizona thing, yeah, it's like 117, 110 in Arizona for months on end. Maybe once last year here, like it happens, but whatever.
All that other stuff.
It's different. It's different.
It is different. But do you agree with me?
Yes. Come on, man. Let me explain why.
Come on now.
Jake is all East Coast, though. He's biased.
He ain't wrong on that.
Jake's like East Coast through and through.
You ain't wrong on that. All right. Everyone can say the West Coast is best. I will say
it is best, though. West Coast is best. It is. Sorry, Jake.
Nah.
Sorry.
It's best for the fact that we get to wake up, watch football at 10, and be done with football at 8:30 and do whatever.
I don't know, guys.
What are you doing?
No, I'm going to let Jake answer his question, and I do have to comment on that.
The 1 o'clock kicks are great, all right? Because tailgating purposes. Side the point. I love the West Coast in terms of, yes, you don't get the humidity. It is a dry heat, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, when it is 70 degrees out, it's a nice 70 degrees. It's cool out, right? But when it is 110, you feel like you're a cookie on a cookie sheet being baked, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, no joke. You're melting, especially in Arizona. They could have misters out there, all right, then in a shaded area, and you are still sweating bullets,
right?
East Coast, yes, it's 70 in humidity, and you are still dripping in sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the difference, though. I can bring a towel to work, pat myself down on a consistent basis, bring a fan, cool myself down on a consistent basis. Here's the other difference is when the sun goes down, this is where the differentiator for me is. When the sun goes down in Arizona, it's still hot. You just turned off the oven for a bit.
See, I like that, though. I like that. I like Vegas at 10 p.m. being 92.
What are you even on right now?
No,
I like that.
I want 70s. I want 70s at dusk.
No, I need a summer night. It's a summer night for a reason. I need that.
I don't know. I disagree. I'm full East Coast on it. I'll say this. I'll take the humidity. It ain't bother me. I'd rather have humidity than just complete dry heat.
Now,
it's also good for the skin.
Well, okay. I've been blessed with good skin just in general. So I'm on the West Coast and I got good skin.
good for you.
You know what I mean?
Just want a medal for that one. I
put on my lotion every day, you know, make sure I got the Jergens Ultra Healing Joint.
There's a saying out there that you could,
you know. This guy.
Right, Jake's back. Jake's wild. What's with the West Coast time zone?
No, so.
Hater.
It depends.
10 a.m.?
It depends. It depends on.
Never had a breakfast burrito and watch a.
So it depends on how you go about life. Mm. I'm a vampire. Mm. D'Lo, for instance, is not. Mm-hmm. So D'Lo lives on the East Coast, and he went to watch the Kings, and they start at 10:30. Like, this is ridiculous. Get me off this coast. Me, 10:30? I got a brand new game that's about to start at 10:30?
I can watch
it. Oh, this is fire. I'm up till 2 a.m. Let's go. Let's go. I'm watching all this. I loved it.
Nah.
I loved it. When I was over there, and I was even in bed on one of the nights because I had to put the baby to bed one of the nights. It was like 11:45 midnight, and I go on the app. Oh, Dodgers and Brewers are playing. Let me see this game. Let me see what's going on here. I'm watching it live at midnight. This is fire. This is fire.
I'm watching Ryan Braun versus Andre Ethier at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay,
chill.
Andre Ethier.
All right, that's crazy. No one needs to be watching sports at 1 o'clock in the morning. All right, go to sleep. You got work the next day.
Okay, here's my thing with the West Coast time zones, especially on Sunday. Uh-huh. Okay? Your boy likes to go out on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I ain't getting back to the crib till 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
that's
be
how
real
you do
too.
It, big dog. Yo, chill, Scooter, chill. I'm talking about the game. The Dodgers
Scooter
lost
said
that
KC
game, bro.
Getting excited
the Dodgers
for Dodgers
were losing. What are you talking about?
Wild.
I wanted to see the Dodgers lose. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Sorry, Jake. They're trying to slander me here.
Oh, I know. If I'm out till 2 a.m., mm-hmm. I'm sleeping till at least 10. At least. I got to get my 8 hours and have to.
Yeah, those days are done for me, though.
Okay, well, good.
Even if I get, but even if I'm out till 2, I'm up no.
Deion Sanders said we got to get up before 6.
Well, you did. You're not a real man if you don't.
That's what Deion said.
That's like
I'm waking up at 5:59.
That's like
now.
Why I like the 1 p.m.s because on the East Coast I can get up at 10:30, mm-hmm. get my day started, do a couple things. If I forgot to get the food for the feast of mm-hmm. watching football all day, I can run out and grab it. If not, we're going to get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee with a bacon,
Dunkin'
egg,
Donuts,
and cheese.
That's East Coast. Yeah.
With under $5 because that's a crazy concept
they
here
love,
on the West Coast.
They love Dunkin' Donuts.
They love
there on the East Coast.
Dunkin'
Donuts. Now, look, I will say this.
See, hold on. With the whole going out stuff, like, yeah, you go out, you get back at 2. You got to get up at 8 or whatever still. Like, it's just that's the way it goes now. You don't get to sleep in. It's just football's at 10, so you got to get up before that.
But you know,
you have more responsibility than I do.
You know what the killer is, though, which does not get any viewership from me? Even if I don't go out, it don't get no viewership from me.
What?
And that's those damn London, Germany games.
Right,
we're talking about 5 a.m. out here. 6 a.m.
You're
not getting no viewership. You're lucky if I see the second half.
I woke up for Brian Flores versus Urban Meyer at 6 o'clock on 2 hours of sleep. Urban Meyer won that game, too.
Wow.
I think that was the first win of the season. I was pissed.
Urban Meyer.
I got home at like 4 a.m., woke up at 6, and we lose to Urban Meyer. I was like, that was a waste.
That's a killer. That is, I'd be so upset.
Go back to the bed. Chris was like, did they win? No, I'm going to sleep.
I'd be so upset. Yeah, I'd be pissed off. Now, I will say this, though. Once again, Sunday night football. Starting at 8 p.m. instead of 5, that's fire.
Bro. It hits.
That's fire right there.
It hits.
How? That's fire.
Because here's
that's
the,
how we
here,
end
this
in
is
the
reason,
night.
This is the reason, okay? So you watch games from 1 to 6:37, right? The first 2 hour games. Then you have an hour and a half to make dinner for yourself. And then you sit, dinner's ready, beer, watch Sunday Night Football.
Or if you go out to, like, oh, I'm going to go to the bar
straight
and watch
up.
This game.
Boom.
Starting at 8? It's lit.
But
this
if you barbecued earlier in the day, you don't need to make dinner because you already got food for later on.
That's a good point.
And if the game ends at 8:30, like, just thinking bigger picture, hey, babe, you want to watch that show now? We got time to watch the show before we go to sleep.
No, we just don't have time to watch
it. It's 8:30 now. We can watch the show now.
I hate to tell you,
I'm going to be honest with you. On Sundays, it's football day. We ain't.
I'm saying it's football day, and then it's at 8:30. It's perfect.
Then I can go to church like without thinking about mm-hmm. missing anything. You know, it's all good. Now I will say this, Jake. I'm gonna stray away from you right here and come back to my West Coast roots. You know what I mean? Because I am West Coast.
Shoot,
this is home. Let's not ever get it twisted.
Oh, you're pretty this East Coast
home.
Sometimes.
No, this is home, though, no, Jesse. This is home. It's always West Coast for your boy. It does seem like I wouldn't know what to do with my afternoons or evenings from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
There's no games on. There's nothing.
That was the worst part about being in Miami, was that there's no games till later on in the night. So, like, we're hanging out, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, what, like, you can't vibe? Like, it's just whatever. Yeah, there's nothing on yet.
What am I going to do? There's nothing to do. You talk about Sunday morning and being able to wake up on time. I get up at 9 o'clock. What the hell am I going to do from 9 to 1? What am I going to do? Watch Randy Moss and Rex Ryan for 4 hours? No, I don't want
to
see that.
What am I going to talk to my family? No.
The East Coast, that's not a good look. That's not a good look.
Okay,
that's
a point for me.
There's just too much dead time.
Say whatever you want to say.
Jay gets pizza, we get sports time zones. There we go.
There we go. Jake, we talked a lot, because I want to talk football with you when we come back. But we talked a lot about the Kings. We talk about the Kings all the time here, just kind of breaking things down. They just finished Summer League. They're officially kind of in the off season. Did you see anything since the draft that makes you think differently about this franchise, like in a positive or negative? I don't want to lead the witness. Have you seen anything that has made you feel differently about this franchise?
No, because I thought that they definitely did hit on both their draft picks when they drafted them. Mm. So I sat there and I said, okay, solid draft pick. Mm. Their play in Summer League, I think, was admirable. They played hard, defended really well, showcased what they were trying to do and what they're trying to build. I think they have some really nice pieces there that I think you can work with. I like the Isaac Jones, the Devin Carter, the Nick Clifford, the Max Renat.
What do you think of Devin? I know you were big at, because you saw a lot of them, you know.
I was high on Devin. Can I be real with you?
Absolutely.
I think his shoulder's still messed up.
I wonder if we ever talked to people about this.
It's not
how do I put this? Is this something that he's going to deal with forever?
Yes.
Because it seems like once a game, he's messing with his shoulder a little bit.
Well, I feel like there's something that people call, like, on social, like on Twitter too, like the first Summer League game where he's just, like, I don't even know if he was like grabbing it, but more so like, oh, he's kind of working that shoulder a little bit.
The one thing in that first Summer League, I saw the same, it was like the first quarter
and
he was messing with it. He had the KT tape on and they come back from timeout and it's off. So I feel like in that situation, that was bothering him. So he took it off. But 2-3 games later, he's going to the paint, goes up for a shot. I don't even think he got fouled. He might have just missed it. And he just, he's always messing with the shoulder. He messed with it last year during the season, all this stuff. And I wonder if it's something that's just going to be an issue for his career.
And if that's the issue, though, is he ever going to be healthy enough to be able to play at a high level that he played at Providence? Mm-hmm. Like, my question is this. At Providence, he had one of the surgeries before. One of the shoulders was bad. One of the shoulders was good. But he still was able to be very productive at Providence. It's also a different level, don't get me wrong, compared to the NBA game. But if he's not fully healthy and able to still do what he used to do in college because of the injury, then, okay, either you got to reinvent yourself as a player, or two, you've got to figure out something else. Like, simple as that. For him, I have question marks on his offensive abilities. Defensively, he's great. Long, can stay in front of defenders, has a good defensive IQ in terms of where the ball is going. Offensively, not a great shot, if you ask me. I don't think it's consistent enough. Mm-hmm. Definitely, specifically from three-point range. Doesn't know how to pick his spots offensively in terms of when to take it to the tin, take it to the rack, or dish out. We saw a little bit of it in Summer League, but he's still trying to figure that part of his game out. Right. And I think I thought that was going to be more developed, especially with how ball dominant he was at Providence. Mm-hmm. You look back now, do I think his freshman year or rookie year got stunted because of the injury? Absolutely. But I don't think he like took a chip on his shoulder this offseason to prove, like, I've got to be the guy. Like, I have an opportunity here to make an impact on this team.
Yeah.
And because he hasn't done that, I don't have high expectations for him.
I feel like, unfortunately for him with the Kings, he's a little miscast. They're trying to make him – go ahead, do what you got to do. I got you. There you go. He's miscast as a point guard. Like, they're trying to get him to be this point guard, and I just don't think that's who he is. I know that's what he's listed as.
That it's not ball guard.
Nah, it's it. That's it, man.
A great defender, too.
And unfortunately – doesn't feel like they have room for another off-ball guard right now. They're looking for a backup point. And to his credit, he tried it. Like, I look at him, He said this was maybe my ticket for being successful with this team, being a point guard and all this other stuff. I'm going to try it. I'm going to go out there. And I think Mark Jones said he went to point guard school with his dad and all this other stuff to try and learn some of the intricacies of the position. But it's just not natural to him.
No.
It's just not.
And I think with him, I think there's other spots on different teams that he could fill in a much bigger role and thrive a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I look at like a Miami, quite honestly, is a team where I think he could thrive off of.
TC said it the other day. Give us Jaime Jaquez, Devin Carter.
Do you think they would do that, though?
Well, they don't. Somebody don't like him over there.
We know why, all right? Well,
that's allegedly. We don't know why.
Jokes, allegedly.
We don't know.
I know is this. If they do that straight up, I would take that trade in 30 seconds because I think Jaime, even though he has question marks at his three-point shooting ability, he's a better defender in terms of versatility-wise, can defend from 2 to 4 compared to Devin. It's only maybe 1 or 2.
Yeah, no, I feel you, man. Jake Gaten, CBS 13, he's rocking with us right now. Jake, when we come back, it's football season, man. And I know NFL training camp is going on, but I can't let you come through here and not talk about Sac State. Even I saw you had some with UC Davis yesterday. So we're going to talk a little college football and a little NFL football as well, man. Jake Gaten joining me right here on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. KC and friends today, man. I got my guy, Jake Gaten.
You have Matt George today?
Matt George today. So, well, that's why I asked you Wednesday.
I know.
I get it. I don't need you guys crossing paths, you know.
It's okay. We know that you guys like Matt more than me.
Oh, this guy I get it. So, hey.
His work at ABC 10 is pretty dang good.
I done seen a couple sports Sundays where I was like, hey, wait a minute. What the hell's going on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With a couple other people there, you're like, huh.
We're going to lock that
It's
down,
okay.
Man.
Toyota Sports Extra is always an interesting time. Well. We could go right back at you, all right?
Oh, okay. Or I heard Jake one time as I was driving to work. I said, what?
Which one?
I heard you one time as I was driving into work.
I wouldn't. Time out.
Time out. 20 second timeout.
Let's reconvene over there. We'll go be boys again, all right? God dang.
No, that's my man. That's my Jake Gaten. CBS 13 here with me today. And I want to talk some football. I want to talk college football, but I don't want to miss this because Jesse, second day of training camp.
Yes.
More people getting carted off.
No.
Why can't we play summer league, spring league?
No, we're not going to get back into this because there's a purpose to OTAs and there's no purpose to just throwing, making money for the NFL. That's why. We don't need guys tearing their knees up for no reason, for money reasons. That's why.
Do you think we even need to play preseason games?
That's up to the players. If they took it away, I wouldn't mind it. But if they kept, it's up to them, honestly, if they feel it's beneficial.
I actually do. Remember the year we didn't have preseason games and everything was bad? Well, I feel like 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I feel like now a lot of times in week 1, maybe even week 1 to week 3, whatever, we see a lot of these first stringers kind of start out rusty because that's the first time they're getting time.
Right.
Like, I think that's in it. I think maybe you guys should play a little bit more in preseason, but I mean, that's just a different thing, I guess.
Jake.
Who got injured? You're going to leave me hanging here?
Justin Fields got hurt. Who knows what happened with that? Adam Schefter said originally, looks like a torn Achilles.
I think
comes out an hour later. It was just a dislocated toe.
I think the latest is that he might be ready for the season, could miss, but it's just... This is tough. No, he's going to miss some time in training camp, that's for sure.
No, I'm not laughing at that because I hope he's okay. But I don't believe I got Chatty House. This was 7 a.m. And who would Chatty House that? I think Adam Schefter originally was like, they fear it's an Achilles. Carted off. He left early. And then an hour later, it's just a dislocated toe. Come on, Shefty.
Yeah, it's like
if that. Really, yeah.
Let it play out.
It's New York, bro.
If my eyes weren't deceiving me, that come on, don't do that.
It's New York, bro.
So, he got hurt, and then yesterday, Dolphins player cornerback.
Yeah, Artie Burns.
Yeah, he tore his ACL and MCL. I think they said.
I got an interesting thing from Kay Adams, though.
What's that?
Name the free agent wide receiver that is very interested in signing with the Kings or signing with the 49ers.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Free agent wide receiver?
Amari Cooper.
No.
Who's a free agent right now?
Played in the AFC East.
In the AFC East? Don't tell me yet. Don't tell me.
Do we have a team that he
played for? Do you want to go team or do you want me to go quarterback with throwing the ball?
We should be able to get this right here in the AFC East.
OBJ?
No.
Damn, it's not Amari Cooper?
No.
No, he didn't play in the AFC East.
He played for the Bills.
Oh, yeah, he did. I forgot.
You were thinking of the right team?
Gabe Davis. There we go.
He's a free agent?
Yeah.
Was he hurt last year?
Yeah. How would you feel about that?
I'd be fine.
Veteran.
They need something like that now.
Can I be real with you? The one thing I don't like about the wide receiver room for the 49ers is they don't have a veteran in there.
They don't have a number one right now either.
Right now, I think Ayuk is your number one, but are you really comfortable with Ayuk leading that wide receiver room?
Jake, I'm not comfortable with Brandon Ayuk for the rest of his career.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing.
I was high on him because he's a rock, came out of Rockland, went to Arizona State.
I am too. It's not him, the player. It's the injury.
Yeah,
I'm kind of looking at, and I hope I'm dead wrong, he ain't never going
to
be the same.
He'd be kind of the outlier for a player to come back from an ACL injury, or a receiver to come back from an ACL injury and still, just be really productive.
He ripped his knee up, though. It was, ACL, MCL, and, partially torn something up. He messed his knee up.
That's why they're going to take some time bringing him back.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't rush that at all.
No, I know
if it
earlier.
It takes him two years.
I agree. I know earlier, maybe a couple weeks ago, they were like, he's ahead of schedule, and they're not ruling out the start of season or whatever. I said, don't even mess around. This guy definitely needs to be on the pup list and out for the first four games. I wouldn't probably want to see him till midseason.
I was like, let's bring him back week 8.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Midseason. So, to that point, they don't have a true veteran. I was getting caught up on the first day of camp for the 49ers yesterday, though, and a lot of people were raving about DeMarcus Robinson and how he performed at camp. And we all know he's probably going to be suspended 2-3 games to start the season because he got in some legal trouble off the field. But a lot of people are like, yo, when he gets going, when he's back, he's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. He's going to be nice. So I'm familiar with the player. I haven't broken down film on DeMarcus Robinson, so I can't really speak to how good I think he is. But I know the people that seen him on that first day of training camp were really impressed with how he performed.
Another name that popped up yesterday that I think was intrigued to see the movement that he's going to have on the defensive line is Mykel Williams.
He said he was going crazy.
They're playing a little outside, but also playing a little inside.
Yeah.
My intriguing part is do you keep him on the outside with Bosa on first and second down, then kick him in on third down and bring in a more specialty guy on third down? That's intriguing there. I also, from my understanding, I think Robert Saleh is going to get this defense back right. I think his issue with New York was never his coaching decisions. It was everything else. That's why I think he did not survive New York. I still think he's a great coach, and he's schematically brilliant.
See, all right. So, being a 49ers fan, I was there. They were really good in 2019. So I was there 2017 and 2018. And there were a number of different times in 17 and 18. I was like, this guy, this is DC. I don't know what he's doing out there half the time. Why are we in this type of coverage? Why are we not blitzing or what? I was like, man, DC, this guy, he not it. And then 2019 happened, and he was lights out. That defense was lights out, and he gets a lot of credit for that. Then 2020 happened, and it was up and down. There were games where it looked like the same defense, and then it was games where they just got destroyed. I remember specifically, and this isn't fair because there was a lot of different things that were going on in 2020, obviously, especially with the 49ers not even being able to, they got kicked out of the state.
They couldn't play here.
No. So, and they had injury. There was a lot going on. But I remember specifically the Niners had gotten to a point that year where they were like one game out of like the wild card spot. This was week, maybe 4 weeks left in the season or something like that. They were kind of right there on the bubble. They had won maybe a game or two, and the defense looked good. And it was like, oh, man, Salah's got him playing again. And then you started to hear rumbles of, y'all, it looks like this is going to be the Jets. Excuse me. This is going to be the Jets' next head coach. He's earned it. Robert Saleh, he's the hottest guy out there right now. And in Arizona, they played the Bills on a Monday night, and Josh Allen destroyed that defense. Absolutely just carved it up. Now, number one is Josh Allen. Number two, did you hear what I said? They were in Arizona for a Monday night football game. So there was a lot going on. But it was like Josh Allen and the Bills were like, oh, you coming to this division? You coming to this? I got you. This is what you got to get ready for. And that's a long-winded way of saying I think Salah's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach.
I counterpoint that and say, look what he did with the New York Jets as a defense. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, he gave the AFC East more fits than you think. Yes, Josh Allen might have carved him up one game, but there's some schematic geniuses in the AFC East, mm-hmm. specifically over Miami. They couldn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Miami did not do well against against the New York Jets. Now, the Jets had a quarterback issue.
Right.
Like, do you remember the Aaron Rodgers year? That was never a offensive issue. It was always the defense. Like, the defense had to figure out
the year
out
where
how
he just ran out of the tunnel and
yes.
that was the only
that
highlight?
Was it. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Defense was still very good that year.
They were.
Just saying.
I think he's a good coach. I do think he's a good coach. I just remember it was just up and down. There were times when he was like really in his bag and I loved what he was doing. And there was times when I was like, this is awful. Like, he's getting destroyed by Arizona right now. You know what I mean? So I say all that to say I'm glad he's back. And
the proof's going to be in the pudding this year.
Yeah, they got to execute. They got
straight up.
We talked about yesterday.
Offensively, they've got to do it too. That's where I'm the bigger question mark than the defensive side.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Myself and Jesse is just like, we looked at the schedule. Are they a championship contender this year? I don't think so, but I think they can win the division. Mm-hmm. I think they will win the division. I'm going to say that today. I think they will win the division. That schedule is looking very favorable for them. And we talked about if they don't win 10 games, I think Kyle Shanahan's on the hot seat. And you know how much I love Kyle Shanahan and believe in him. But with the roster that they have, which I'm not saying it's the best in football, but you got a good roster. You got talent on that roster, high-end talent. You paid your guy in Brock Purdy. You've got a favorable schedule. Yeah, I'm expecting – and you're Kyle Shanahan. Like, I'm looking at you like – you're one of those guys. If I believe that you're one of those guys, yes, you get this team to 10 wins this year. Absolutely. And if you can't, now I got to reevaluate the coaching spot.
I still don't think if they don't make the playoffs, guys, that would be awful.
I agree.
That would be awful.
I agree 100%.
And I think on top of that, if you get into the playoffs, though, why can't they be the juggernaut? They have pieces on those. Like the way I look at it is this. Detroit last year was supposed to blow out throughout the whole entire division, and then Jaden Daniels shows up, and here we are, right? And then it's the Philadelphia Eagles that ends up taking the whole entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you can be a Washington Redskins team, a Commanders. Oh, whoa, Commanders. Time out. Damn, throw the flag.
Football team.
No, give it time. Seems like things are moving there.
I'm just saying.
Things are moving.
How about this? Can I say? I'll say one thing on that, bro. Just know what you're talking about. Be informed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be informed. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's mm-hmm. all I'm gonna say before you make any comment. Just be informed.
That's it.
Do the 49ers even have like a Terry McLaurin type in that wide receiver room though? To I guess go on a run like that.
Are you saying to get Terry though?
No, I don't think that's possible for them. But like, I don't think that wide receiver room Like, that's going to keep them from elevating in the playoffs.
I disagree. You want to know why? Because if they don't have the wide receiver room that they don't that they want midway through the year, I think it's much easier to go on the trade deadline and try to go out and get a decent wide receiver for a third or fourth round pick than it would be to go get an offensive lineman at that time of year, go get a defensive back or a linebacker. Wide receivers are probably one of the easiest traded positions when it comes to the trade deadline.
If they're able to get someone, then yeah, I'll change my mind on that depending on who they get, which is if what they got now, and then you add Ayuk when he's healthier or whatever, and like that's what you're going into the playoffs with. Like that's where it's like, okay, I just can't buy into them just hitting another level. I think that'll be what's holding them back. So they're gonna have to add, yeah.
Like let me throw this out there, okay? And this is a hypothetical here. But what if the Bengals do poorly this year, right? And they're sitting at the trade deadline, sub 500 record. We're looking at ourselves. We're paying two wide receivers X amount of money right now between T Higgins and Jamar Chase. If you're the 49ers, then they say, hey, give us a fifth-round pick for T. Higgins and take over that contract. Would you have an issue with that?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
T. Higgins, I think he's great.
So, like, you sit there and you say, okay, that's how easy this thing can get going. Yeah. It's not that hard.
They got Emmanuel Sanders a couple years ago in 2019.
I think, you know, another one is like DK Metcalf, if that doesn't work out. Mm. The experiment in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I think we were talking about this earlier.
Are you going Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Tyreek
Hill might be like. Imagine if Tyreek,
second round pick,
he's gonna be gone in 3 months on your team.
But in the Shanahan, offense though,
yeah, woo. You love him. First round pick,
fourth rounder, and a future fifth.
Okay,
I would love it though.
So that's what I'm saying. I think the 49ers are giving themselves optionality, which I don't think they had in the years past.
And that's also, and it's fair, I'm not saying it's not fair, but that's also assuming the guys that they have are just no good, right? Like DeMarcus Robinson looks good when he comes back. Ricky Pearsall, who is on the PUP list right now, he looked close yesterday. Like I saw some video of him working out on the field. He was out there. He was making cuts. He was sprinting and all this other stuff. So it doesn't feel like, Kyle Shanahan said the other day, there has been no setback. It's just precautionary maybe, or he's still working through some things, but he's still on track to be ready. And he looks that way. What if he's a good ball player? So
I think he's a guy this year, and we talk about getting your opportunity. He's going to get his opportunity this year. There's a guy like D. Winters on the defensive end. He's going to get his opportunity this year, right? Yes. What you do with that opportunity is going to affect what happens the rest of your career.
100%.
So if you're going to get a ton of targets this year, Brock's going to look for you in the slot. Same thing with a guy like Jacob Cowling who got injured yesterday. Take your opportunity, run with it, see where it goes. That's how Ayuk got on the field.
Yeah. What you think about the Raiders? Jesse was saying yesterday he thinks they might go to the AFC Championship.
Don't even do that. All I said was out of eye. Don't even do that. No, that's how things get started. Look, Jake's already making a face about it. I didn't even say that. He's lying, Jake. Don't believe him.
He didn't say that.
Benitez can go to the Raiders Therapy Club. They meet.
I just said I had an eye on them.
They meet every Monday afternoon, evening, 6 to 7 o'clock.
He said he has his eye on them. And I will say this. I think – so what, you think they're like a five-win team?
No, they're not a five-win team,
I think
guys.
They could, I was could around be eight. Around 500.
I think they can go around 500, but if you think they're going to make the AFC
– I was joking.
You're crazy.
It's already been clipped and sent out. Look at
it.
Yeah, look at it. You told him you was joking. He still thinks. Hey, sports media is a dirty game, guys.
It is. Because here's the thing. Could the Raiders push to make a playoff spot? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the same spot where a lot of these NFL teams are at right now. Yes, you have a solid quarterback. Yes, you have a new head coach that has won before at a high level. But where's your future? What's the directionality of the Raiders? Is it Max Crosby's team? How much are you going to get Brock Bowers the ball? What's the ability that you're going to do with Ashton Jeanty and how you're going to run the offense? Is Jacoby Myers going to be able to be healthy all year? Like, those are the questions. But the biggest one that no one's talking about, because I can see it happening right now, is the offensive line for the Raiders allowing Geno Smith to get injured in week three, and then you're back to Aiden O'Connell, and you have to sit there and deal with him for 6 weeks. That's my question. Yeah. Like, I think the Raiders are definitely a question mark team, but I also look at the AFC West they have to play. They're going to play the Chiefs. I think the Broncos are better than them. I think the Chargers are pretty much on par, maybe a little bit higher.
Chargers might win that division.
Straight up. And then you have the Raiders.
I compared them to kind of like the Chargers last year. Like going into the season, they added Jim Harbaugh, but the running backs room was looking kind of weak. Wide receivers weren't looking great. And just the team was like, all right, they're going to need to rebuild a bit. But like you get a good coach in there, just get them playing good, sound football. I think that's kind of what the Raiders can be, where they're kind of eight wins around there. Maybe you get to 10 if things go your way or whatever.
You have to steal your divisional games, though. You have to like, sweep your non-conference.
I don't think like the Chargers are like that far and away better. Like the Broncos would be good and stuff like that. I don't think those teams are just like that much better. The Chiefs have kind of looked weak the last couple years, so maybe you could steal a game there. Like Chiefs won the Super Bowl, you know what I'm talking about. Like they haven't looked as dominant as they have before and all that. But I see them like maybe around 8 wins this year. Maybe if things go their way and everyone's staying healthy and the offensive line can hold up Geno and stuff, maybe you can get to 10 or 9 and just kind of be in the hunt.
It's all about health. I think that's the key on this, but I still think the Broncos and the Chiefs are going to be competing for the division this year.
I don't think the Raiders are winning the division. If they get in, it could be through the wild card. Like I said, they'll sneak in through the end.
They'd have to sweep their non-divisional opponents.
I think the Chargers are winning that division. I'm saying it right now on July 24th. I think the Chargers are winning the division.
I'm glad you're there.
Here's the thing about the Raiders that I was telling Jesse about, because I see improvement, right? Like I believe in Pete Carroll. Genty is a superstar. Another year with Bowers. Geno Smith is better than anything they had last year. So I can see a game or two improvement. The killer is, like you just kind of laid out, being in that division, I don't think you're better than any of those teams. And when we talk about playoffs, what, they going to get 4 teams from the AFC West? No. Somebody not going to make it, and I think that somebody will be the Raiders.
I think they can split in that division, though. I don't think they're going to go out and get swept.
They're not going to get swept, but I think they can split the Chargers. I think you're getting swept by the Chiefs, and I think you might be swept by the Broncos.
I think they go 2-4 in division.
I like that.
That's just
like
not
I said yesterday.
To,
I wouldn't put them as like they're the fourth team in that division right now, but I see some things.
I feel you.
Time will tell.
Yes, indeed. Before you get out of here, I got to tap in with you about Sac State football.
I got some stuff here. Okay.
Well, look, I'm gonna let you cook, because I got to be honest. There's two different stories going on. The football team, everything that's going on coming up this year, I'm so hyped for. I think they got hated on a little bit in the preseason rankings by maybe jealous Big Sky coaches of all the attention they were getting, and that's why they're there. I think they can win the Big Sky. I think they might mess around and make a run. When I talk about run, I'm talking about national championship run. A lot of talent there. So that's what's going on. I'm excited about that. But, Jake, I am a little worried about what's going on with this FBS thing.
Okay.
So
where do you want me to start?
Wherever you want to start.
Okay. Let's do bad news first.
Okay.
I think the FBS thing is cart before the horse a little bit. And that's the frustrating part when you're a Sac State fan. I don't want to deliver you bad news. I just want to be honest with you. Mm. I think this is a thing where they did not have their ducks in a row for the NCAA to approve the FBS. Could they take matters into their own hands and go the legal route and try to sue the NCAA to get in? Yes, they could absolutely do that. And I guarantee they're probably looking at those situations right now as well. My problem is I don't think they have a conference to go to. And I know they're like, well, we got to be – let's be an independent for 2 years. We still got to do two years of getting to the FBS. Like there's a ramp-up period, right? Why does it matter if we don't have a conference affiliation? I think the non-conference affiliation hurts them tremendously. Now, you're going to make the argument, well, Jake, what conference do they go to? Pac-12's not taking them, Mountain West is not taking them, and I don't blame them. They don't want to go to the East Coast and do what Stanford and Cal are doing in the ACC.
And I don't have the money for something like that.
You don't. So that's where you sit there and say Sac State's in between a rock and a hard place. Here's the thing. If they can find a second team in Northern California or really on the West Coast that is willing to make the move to FBS, you have two teams that can be added to a division, so it's not an odd number out. That's one. Mm-hmm. Two, I think they need to make sure those facilities on Sac State's campus are good to go with the money that they said that they have for it. The football stadium needs upgrading. Mm-hmm. You can get that done before making that transition to FBS. I think the basketball arena, even though it's being updated to the well this year, it still needs to be bigger. Mm-hmm. And it's still going to be a nice facility. I'm not saying it's not. Right. But there still needs to be bigger things to be laid out for them to be able to make that move.
So what you're saying, and I agree with you here, regardless of if you're FBS or what's going on, you still need to continue on building up the university, building up the state. If you have a plan for a stadium, if you got money for the stadium, and I know maybe some of that was contingent on going to FBS, but you got to maybe work around that and try, go back to those people who were going to help with the situation. Be like, look, it's chicken or the egg situation. Like, we can't get there if we don't get this. So please continue to help us get this so we can eventually get there.
My also big worry is that their messaging, quite honestly, because their messaging is, oh, we are going to the FBS. It is going to happen. I believe that, but you don't know what timeline it is, because at the end of the day, you're not in control of it, right? It's the NCAA. It's a big entity. They're the ones that are in control of it. They're the ones that are going to tell you when you're going to be able to make the move. So for me, I think this is a five-year plan for Sac State. I don't think this is happening next year. If it does, I'd be extremely, extremely surprised to figure out maybe they went the legal route. Maybe they went to, you know, there was something yesterday I saw that they were.
I didn't understand that.
Neither did I. Did
it was
you?
Like a Senate.
The Senate thing. Yeah. I was really confused by
and
that.
I think the gist of it is whatever's going on with, I forgot the name.
House versus House. Oh yeah,
it's an act going on. They're saying they'll delay that. Like, I'm not going to approve this until you do what's right by Sac State. I don't know how much.
But like, how is that going to?
Right.
Two different powers of B. Right. So I think the common denominator is this, Kenny. I think we all want to see Sac State go to the FBS because we believe that the school can do it. Mm-hmm. And they have the resources, they have the fan base, they have the necessities to make it happen. It's who's going to pull the trigger to make it happen. I feel like that's just a Sacramento thing. I hate to tell you that. Like, yeah. As an outsider, like, just let's do it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, get the stadium done. Let's get a build a bigger arena, and let's find a conference in the next 2 years and be really smart and strategic about it. Mm-hmm. So by 2028, we're at a FBS level. We have the conference affiliation. Let's go.
Yeah. What's the good news?
What do you mean?
You said you were giving the bad news first.
Okay. The good news is this.
Damn. You said, what do you mean?
Yeah. I thought you mean about that story. The good news is, here's the good news.
Don't scare us.
Sac State has been the football team, and Brendan Marion has been. They're a little noisy, and people are noticing. Mm. I think they had Big Sky Media Days this past week. Mm. I had a couple friends on the ground there that let me in on what was going on over at Sac State. Let's just say they ruffled a little feathers within the Big Sky. I think the comments by the president about playing in JV.
They don't let that go.
I don't think people are going to let that go.
Yeah.
I think that's number one. I think number two, the amount of big signings they have made and said that we are going to be moving to the FBS has rubbed people the wrong way a little bit. And I also think Brendan Marion, and I give him credit for this, that man's got swag. Yeah, all right. Yeah. He's an aura. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
when
he walks into the room, you feel it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that is ruffled a little more, a couple feathers within the coaching ranks of like, who is this guy, right? And hey, what is it, straight up. But here's the thing. I think they have talent, abundance of it at Sac State. My biggest question is, can you bring that talent together to work cohesively? Mm. Football is an 11-man sport or on each side, 22 people on the field, 11-man in the huddle right now. Mm. If you can't get everyone on the same page, it's going to look dysfunctional. Yeah. So if I'm Brendan Marion, I'm not worried about the talent. I'm worried about the process.
Yeah.
How do we get everyone bought in, everyone come together, and let this thing fly when things happen in September? Because you're right, Kenny. They have everything to win an FCS championship.
I think they're going to go on a run this year. I think they're going to leave the Big Sky with a championship.
I'm going to
tell you that right now, a Big Sky championship.
I think Tim Plow over UC Davis will have something to say about it.
I know
they will.
I know what it is, because they're going.
There's a kid over there.
They ready.
Do you know the kid's name that's going to be the quarterback over at Davis, it looks like?
I don't
know,
but you can tell me off.
Caden Pinnick.
Caden Pinnick?
Yes, from Del Oro, up in Loomis, man.
Okay.
This kid, look at his high school highlights if you have a second. This kid, there's 22 players on the field. He was the best player out of every player on that field, and he dominated. The amount of times he would just go, whoa, 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 bing, for a touchdown.
I'm tapped in. I'm looking at it, man. Jake, you're the man, dog.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, man. And anytime you need your boy, man, you're
already. Hey, I was going to say, Sports Sunday, you free?
Let's do it.
Okay. Say less.
Let's make it happen.
Say less. All See right, you then.
Jay Gaten, CBS 13. We've got Drew the Local Guy making his D'Lo and KC debut.
That's actually happening?
That's happening next.
Oh, yes. I gotta listen to this.
On ESPN 1320. Yes, sir. D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. And let me get the hair horns out right now. Come on, man. The first time ever in D'Lo and KC history. We got my guy, Drew, the local guy. Come on, more air horns. More fire. Drew, what's up, baby?
Not much, man. I'm just enjoying the off season. You know how draining the regular season can be when the team's not playing well, especially too, right? So it was weird down the stretch. I was kind of just talking to everybody who I talk to often about the Kings. They're just like, I think I'm ready for the season to just be over. and it's been nice. And Summer League was a big positive, I think, overall. Right. So, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, man, been good. And I hope you're doing well too. And I hope Jesse's doing well too. I told Jesse when he emailed me earlier that he made a huge mistake giving me his email, because now I'm just going to spam it all.
It's all good, Drew. It's all
good. I'm going to sign him up for some of the most ridiculous marketing emails.
But that you can for Arby's exclusive member, club member, Arby's?
Wait, Jesse said he was already a part of that.
Oh, you know their slogan, so Casey?
What is it? You tell me. You tell me, Jesse. What is it?
They got the meats.
There goes that endorsement
deal. Hell no, we gave Arby's a free ad right now. Come work with us.
Oh, man, Drew, I'm so happy you were able to do this, man, because one of the things I want to do, it's the middle of summer. There's not a lot going on. And I'm from, like, the school of, number one, I listened to a lot of radio growing up, but I'm just I got a radio show now or whatever, and I'm not even trying to say, like, I'm super a big deal or something like that, but I'm just like everybody else, man. I was on Twitter, you know, I was, you know, just commenting, and you know, the right people saw what I did and wanted to talk to me, and now I'm here in this situation. So I always have an affinity for just going back to what I call the roots, man, talking to the people on Twitter, on Kings Twitter, on Niners Twitter, all this other stuff. And you're one of the kings of Kings Twitter, man. So I wanted to,
well, I wanted I, to get, I don't get know you I don't, know, here, I don't man. Know I don't know about all that
come one of on the man kings.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but I appreciate you for saying that, man. That means a lot coming from you. Yeah, man, I think that's where Twitter really is kind of like a game, has been a game changer for fan bases, and really, like, our community is just incredibly unique. I think Sacramento is such a tight-knit, small community. Yeah. We have, you know, we always say, oh, there's only one major show in town. It's the Kings. So, like, everybody's always talking about the Kings, and it has been a pretty incredible arc from me just messing around and tweeting about the team and occasionally doing like X's and O's stuff to this point now where it's like, oh, I've been told by like people in and around the organization, like, yeah, they're acutely aware of what you do on the internet, which is terrifying, but also flattering at the same time. And you know, as a person who's listened to your show and, you know, has followed like your career, Damian, for a long time, you know, James and Kyle as well. It is a little surreal sitting here right now being able to be on the show.
Nah, man, you're a natural. Would you please stop tweeting, yo, that's crazy what I just heard. Like, all right, man, come on, man. Because I know you be knowing people.
No, that's
I know
my you be talking to people,
okay. Man. No, so, okay, so here's the thing. I did that last summer a lot just because when the Namar stuff was happening, I was, you know, we were hearing stuff.
Yeah.
So I did that just to mess with the Namar stuff. I told myself this summer, I'm like, I'm going to stop doing that because I was legitimate. Like, people were threatening to like harm me. Like,
oh,
they were,
oh my God.
they were like trying to, they're like, hey man, if I see you at the California Classic, like, it's a wrap.
What?
And I was like, oh,
no, they do get a little crazy with you.
I should probably stop.
That's,
yeah,
that's
so
low key one of the funniest things. Not that part. That's extreme. But like, they're like, you're prominent Kings, you can't be doing this stuff. We trust you, blah, blah, blah.
Hey,
and so I'm just laughing every time, fun, bro.
That's the Marvin Bagley thing that you guys always talk about. Like, how are you going to tell me what to tweet? It's my Twitter. So I kind of get where Marvin's coming from that perspective, because right. I'm like, why are people yelling at me for tweeting things from my own personal account? I'll never understand that. But I said I'd cool it this summer. And for the most part, it's been pretty calm. I still get some pretty ridiculous stuff said to me, but it's not that big a deal. It's just the internet. So
that's all it is, man. But it's one of those things where, even now with the job that I have, like when I wasn't just a Twitter for just KC, you know, I'm, whether I like it or not, I'm still representing, you know, a company and a station and all this other stuff. I was like, man, I gotta, if I say something, it's gotta carry weight. I can't just be tweeting anything out. I remember before I got this job, I used to get so frustrated with like the way things are reported, especially with Twitter and stuff like that. And I would say, yo, how did this rumor even get started? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna start a rumor. I'm gonna, like, once a month, I'm just gonna try and start a rumor, see if it catches fire and see what happens. And it never really got on, but I realized once I got here, I was like, I can't be doing that, because like a rumor will happen and I'll be the basis of it. And I ain't trying to mess with these guys, man. Like, all these athletes, man, I got utmost respect for them and what they do. So I ain't trying to do nothing crazy. But yeah, that was, I had to recognize that myself. Like, yeah, I got to chill out on that.
Yeah, I think there was a certain point where it was like, because I mean, you know, like I just said, we're very small, tight-knit, close community. Like, everybody knows everybody. And people have been very generous and very kind with some of the stuff that they've shared with me. And really what it came down to, especially this summer and even at the trade deadline, you know, with all the Fox stuff happening, I had to realize, like, look, if I'm not careful, I could get people in trouble. I could, you know, like, it's not that hard to trace things back to certain people.
Right.
And so if I wasn't careful and if I didn't have a little bit of tact, you know, on the timeline, then people might get in trouble. And that's something that I've try to keep in the back of my mind over the past year, which I think I've been a little bit.
You've done a good job with that. And I think you're a little bit like myself in the respect that I talk to people. I have people talk to me, tell me things or whatever. And I'm like, all right, we had a conversation. I don't need to go. I'm like, guess what I just heard? Or, oh boy, things are popping up. Like, they told me this. I know it. And I just move on about my business. I don't need to talk about everything that I hear or tweet about it or halfway report on it or something like that. That's not me. I don't need to do that. I like to know the information. That's dope. Mm-hmm. But it's not always for everybody else's consumption at that particular time.
Yeah, I think that's just you and I being responsible as credentialed media members.
Well, okay. Credentialed. All right. Well, sir. Sir, what does your credential say again, sir?
Although, I wouldn't worry about it. Although it's not that important.
Drew's on the court more than I am. You guys think I'm courtside. You think I'm on yo, game don't pass when I don't see Drew on the court, bro.
No. You and I are down there roughly the same amount, but I think you're down there more than me. That's why you have the moniker of courtside Kenny.
I think that's cap, man. I think that's cap.
No, it's not.
Before we go into like this Kings team and, you know, and anything that you feel about that, I just a little bit more about Drew, man. So you born and raised in Sac?
Yes, sir. Born and raised Sacramento. Actually went to the same high school as Dame, I found out. So we are Eagles. Okay. If you've seen my mixtape,
I have. From, yeah,
you know,
okay.
Like that's you know, that's the court that I played on. So yeah, born and raised. I tell everybody that I got in at the right time with Kings fandom, because, you know, I was like second or third grade and I'm aging myself now. People are gonna be like, damn, they're gonna call me Unk in the chat probably. Unk. But
I've zoomed past Unk status.
1990, the lockout season, 98-99, that was my first season watching Kings basketball. And I mean, that was like the greatest 6-7 year stretch of our lives as Kings fans. It's been all downhill from there.
Right.
So that's what really made me fall in love with the game. I, you know, I ended up playing basketball in high school, ended up coaching after high school as well, and that's where I kind of got the X's and O's knowledge. And then I after learning a lot of stuff as a player and as a coach, I went back and I watched the old Kings footage. And I'm like, man, this team walked. So a lot of teams these days could run, man. Yeah. Like those Rick Adelman Kings that was a special group. And yeah, that's kind of like my Kings fan origin story. My dad was the one who introduced me to the Kings. And like for the longest time, I was very, very upset at him for it. Like, he could have chosen a different team. But, you know, we live in Sacramento, you know, we went to the game. So, you know, I chose them as my team, and here we are, 20 some odd years later, we're locked in, man. Like, it's, you know, it's until we die, we're Kings fans. So
it's,